Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22. By faith, Joseph. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this young man, Joseph. Thank you for his faith. And thank you for the record in your word regarding this. Help us today as we examine Joseph's faith that we may learn something for ourselves to live for you by faith. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We got that adjusted there. Even though Joseph single-handedly made Egypt great, the Egyptians very soon forgot all about Joseph after he died. However, 357 years after Joseph died, the Israelites remembered Joseph and carried his bones with them out of that land. Joseph had requested it, Genesis chapter 50 and verse 55, and the people did it, Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. They actually carried his bones through the wilderness for 40 years, and finally, after conquering the promised land, 70 years after they left Egypt, Joseph's bones were buried 427 years after he predicted Israel would leave Egypt. And so we have Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Joseph was right. Israel did leave. Israel returned to the land. But what I want to talk to you today about is what brought Joseph to the place where he could have such faith. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37, we will begin at verse 5. Well, if I would go to Genesis instead of Exodus, that would help, wouldn't it? Genesis chapter 37 and verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. And we know about the dreams that Joseph dreamed. He dreamed one, and then he dreamed another one. And he told his 11 brothers the interpretation of the dreams. And the implied interpretation was obvious, and the brothers got it. Genesis 37 and verse 8. Shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And his father got it also for the second dream, verse 10. What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? We have to ask the question, did Joseph believe these were messages from God? 11 years later, in prison, Joseph expressed his belief that dreams indeed contained messages from God. And this would be in an Old Testament context. I'm not implying that today your dream is a message from God. God's messages were completed when he finished the Bible. But they didn't have the written Bible, and God communicated directly with people through various means in the Old Testament. And in Genesis chapter 40 and verse 8, this is what Joseph said. They said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto him, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." When Joseph was 17 years old and had his own dreams, I believe he believed God was telling him something about the future. And this is probably what kept Joseph going through all of his circumstances. So here in Genesis chapter 37, verse 7, notice something significant that is said regarding this first dream that he had. He says, "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright." He apparently, as we will observe through all of his downward spirals, believed at some point that his sheaf would arise and stand upright. I want you to hold on to that statement, because I will refer to it a couple of times as we go along here. My sheaf will arise and stand upright. So, after his dreams, his brothers were terribly upset with him. And the first thing that happens is that they cast him into a pit. Now, initially, the brothers want to kill him. Genesis chapter 37, verse 18. Verse 18, "And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him." The majority of the brothers wanted to actually kill him. "And they said one to another, Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, Some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Did the brothers suspect that there really was something to his dreams? And they thought the only way to prevent those dreams from coming true is to kill him? Well, Reuben hatched a plan to at least save his life. Verse 21, "Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, Let us not kill him. And Reuben said unto them, Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him." And Reuben's plan was he was going to come back at night and deliver him from the pit. And they cast him into the pit. But before Reuben could deliver him, here come some traveling salesmen, you might say. Some merchants carrying goods that they intend to take to Egypt and sell. And the brothers, Judah in particular, developed this plan. Let's sell him. And that's what they did. They sold their brother into slavery. What was Joseph thinking now? Well, I'm certainly down. I was down in the pit. Now I'm down in slavery. Is this the place from which my sheaf will arise and stand upright? You know, if you are going to arise, that must mean you're down. And so perhaps Joseph anticipated some kind of a thing like this. Not maybe imagining this exact thing, but imagining some unfortunate circumstance in his life from which God would lift him up. Well, this is certainly some unfortunate circumstance. And so he goes as a slave to Egypt. He is purchased by a man named Potiphar, who was an officer of Pharaoh. Chapter 39 in the book of Genesis and verse 1. Chapter 39, verse 1, Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Now, Joseph is 17 years old at this time, according to Genesis 37, verse 2. And verse 2 here in chapter 39 says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." Joseph must have had a sense that the Lord was with him, because Potiphar is going to notice the Lord is with him. And if Potiphar can see it, Joseph obviously must have been aware of it as well. As an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, a 20-year-old, time begins to pass. He had to be thinking about his dreams. The Lord is with me. Now I've risen a little, but I'm still in slavery. When will my sheaf arise? God's prospering of Joseph was so obvious. Verse 3 here in chapter 39, as the master saw that the Lord was with him. I don't know that Potiphar knew the Lord as the Lord, but he recognized him as Joseph's God. And that the Lord, Potiphar even recognizes that it's not actually Joseph that is such a successful and talented man, but that his God has endowed him with these talents. That's a pretty impressive testimony. Verse 4, Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. Then on the verses goes and explains how everything just was going so wonderful, and Joseph apparently was enjoying his job. He had a great deal of freedom, even as a slave. And then comes Potiphar's wife. She makes advances at him. He refuses. Genesis 39, verse 8, he refused. And we see at the end of verse 9, his real consciousness of God in his life. He says at the end of verse 9, "How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" He's very much conscious of God in his life. He recognizes the Lord is with him, and that even though he is in this position of slavery, the Lord is prospering him. However, Potiphar's wife persists, and one day she grabs hold of him, and he flees and leaves his garment, and she is so frustrated and angered that he would reject her. How dare he reject her? She is a woman of position. She should have anything she wants. And so she calls two other servants, and she claims that it was Joseph that attacked her. Well, of course, they're going to take her side. And when Potiphar comes in, she tells the same story to her husband. And in spite of what Potiphar might think of Joseph and Joseph's God, he cannot let such a thing pass. It must be punished. Chapter 39, verse 20. "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison." Well, Joseph's thinking, I was cast into a pit, I was sold into slavery, and now I'm in prison. When will my sheaf arise? If you are confident in the promise of God, and apparently he took this dream as a promise from God, if you are confident in the promise of God, there is no circumstance in life that will discourage you from anticipating God keeping his promises. My sheaf will arise and stand upright. Proverbs 24 and verse 16 says, "For a just man falleth seven times." And how many times does he rise up again? Every one. So now, as a prisoner, chapter 39, verse 21, well, the Lord is still with Joseph. Nothing has changed. And Joseph has to be conscious of this. Now he has gained favor of the keeper of the prison in verse 21. And so in verse 22, the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all of the prisoners that were in the prison and whatsoever they did there. He, Joseph, was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. So once again, Joseph finds favor, this time from the jailer, and the jailer apparently has so much confidence in Joseph that the jailer says, "I don't have to do my job. Joseph will do it for me." What a great benefit for me. We don't know how old Joseph was when he went into prison. We do know that in chapter 40, Joseph was in Egypt for 11 years and was 28 years old. When it happens that the butler and the baker of Pharaoh are cast into prison, and each of them have a dream. We'll only focus on the dream of the butler. The baker doesn't fare well, but the butler does. And he tells Joseph about his dream, and Joseph interprets his dream that the butler is going to be reinstated to his position in handing the cup to Pharaoh. And Joseph says to him, "Would you please remember me before Pharaoh?" Verse 14 of chapter 40. "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." Joseph has to be thinking, maybe this is when my sheaf will arise, and I will stand upright. Chapter 41 and verse 1. "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years." What are 2 years like in prison? Sometimes our days are busy and time seems to go really fast, and some days are slower. Maybe we don't have as much to do. But usually there's plenty to keep ourselves occupied from day to day. And I suppose there were things to keep Joseph occupied. He was in charge of all of the other prisoners and told them what to do and made sure that everything was done as it should be in prison. But don't you think probably most every day was much the same? After all, they couldn't go anywhere. They didn't have a radio to listen to. Unlike today's prisons, they didn't have a TV to watch. Two years can be a long time. Joseph had hope. Maybe now. Just in 3 days, you're going to be reinstated. Maybe in 3 days when you talk to Pharaoh, my sheep will arise. No. The 3 days passed, the fourth day passed, the fifth day passed, another week passed, another month passed, month after month passed, and then it became year after year, and nothing. And then Pharaoh had a dream. Genesis 41, verse 8. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, that is, Pharaoh's spirit was troubled, and he sent and called all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men, whereof the Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh. The butler's standing there, and he's listening to all of this. The wise men come in. The butler is the one who stands next to Pharaoh, ready to give him his cup of beverage anytime he wants something to drink. And so he's listening to all of these wise. He hears Pharaoh tell what his dream was, and he hears these magicians, and they're grappling with it, and they don't have a clue. And then it hits him. 2 years ago, I was in prison, and I had a dream, and there was a young man in there that interpreted my dream. Maybe. Verse 14 of chapter 41. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. Imagine Joseph's excitement. My sheaf is arising. He was anxious. He was ready to take on a huge responsibility. Pharaoh tells him his dream. Joseph easily interprets the dream because God gave him the interpretation. And then Joseph made his move. Verse 33 of chapter 41. Joseph is speaking to Pharaoh. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Wink, wink. I think I know somebody. So Joseph laid out the plan. It was the plan that God had given to Pharaoh through his dream, verses 34 to 36. He lays out the plan. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Pharaoh got it, verse 37. And the thing was good to the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all the people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph says, my sheaf hath arisen, and I am standing upright. Just as God said, he's now 30 years old, just as God told me 13 years ago. What made Joseph so strong? First of all, Joseph learned that slavery was no obstacle for God. Secondly, he saw that imprisonment was no obstacle for God. Thirdly, he saw that time was no obstacle for God. And finally, he was convinced that nothing could prevent God from fulfilling what he had said he would do. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. To his brothers he says this in the end, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Joseph's faith was key to his enduring confusing circumstances. God promised that his sheaf would arise and stand upright. Being sold by his brothers was going down and not up. Being in slavery was going down and not up. And just when things seemed like they were starting to go up, he's put into prison, and that was going down and not up. And when he had a sliver of hope with the interpretation of the butler's dream, he ended up staying in prison for two more years, which was very much down instead of up. But because he saw the evidence that God was with him through all the downs, he kept believing that in spite of all the downs, the up was coming. Slavery is not an obstacle for God to complete his plan. Prison is not an obstacle for God to complete his plan. Time is not an obstacle for God to complete his plan. A hurricane, devastating as the one was that hit the southern states just recently, is not an obstacle for God to complete his plan. A disease like cancer is not an obstacle for God to complete his plan in your life. You remember that one of the things my wife loved to do was make wordless book crafts. And one of the crafts she made was the little caterpillars in the folded leaf, all made out of felt and things. And when the nurses were coming into the home, closer to the end, she gave one of these with the explanation of the wordless book to one of the nurses who had professed to us that she was a believer, and she just loved this thing, and she took it to her office and was showing it to around to the others on her team. And she expressed this to my wife, and my wife said, "Well, how many are on your team?" And she said, "There are 19 of us." My wife gave 19 caterpillars with the explanation of the wordless book to this nurse. She took them and gave them to each one of the team members. They took a picture, all of them holding up their little caterpillar, and gave it to my wife. Even her cancer was not an obstacle for God to use her to complete his plan. There is nothing in life that can prevent God from completing his plan for your life. We may face a lot of downs before the up comes. But if you be conscious that the Lord is with you through all the downs, keep hoping. The up is coming. Remember what Job said, as we mentioned in the beginning. I know that God can do everything. Do you know that? Hold on to that. For no matter how many downs we experience in life, his promises hold fast, and he will lift us up and use us in spite of them all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the faith of Joseph. May we have that kind of faith. There are lots of disappointments in life. Things we wish would be different. But even through all of those things, you are with us. And none of them can prevent you from completing your plan for our lives. Give us that hope, that trust, that confidence, that we may know that you can do everything that needs to be done, that you want to do in our lives, today and always. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.